Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we are Sickle and Everett, and we are the Unhallowed Reviewers, and we are back after a week hiatus, and, you know, things happen. And we miss shows sometimes. Yeah, well, here, you know what? I'll be, you know, full disclosure, I went to, it was my fault, and I went to the...
Break the fourth wall here.
No, I mean, like, you know, we can come out and do stuff, and, like, I just went out and did something on a, when we're supposed to be recording, which was, go to the, a symphony performance of Final Fantasy scores.
That's so...
And it was pretty good.
That sounds pretty cool, actually. But we're not here to talk about Final Fantasy Symphony today. We're here to talk about This Week in Horror.
Could they make a Final Fantasy horror game, though?
Probably.
That would be fantastic.
It'd be like Kingdom Hearts, but if Kingdom Hearts wasn't just Disney and it was like Silent Hill. It's like Final Fantasy.
Yeah, well, and actually, like, I was just thinking about this the other day. One of the best things, like, a lot of people didn't like Final Fantasy XII, but one of the coolest things about it from a horror perspective was that some of the summons in that game were, like, really macabre.
Cool.
And kind of, like, horror-esque. Like, there was this one in particular called Cuchulain. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But it was just this, like, really rotund, fat demon thing that had, like, a spear, like, going through its head and, like, out its chin. And you could see it, like, inside of its mouth, like, going through its mouth.
Oh, yeah, I'm just and thinking about it. He's, like, big and green.
Yeah, and his stomach would, like, burst open with these, like, claws on the inside of him. It looked like something out of, you know, like Silent Hill. It was so out of character for Final Fantasy.
Cool.
And then there was like this goat demon one that you could summon. It was, I don't know, that one was very different.
Oh yeah,
in the cool way thing that they did their summons. Yeah.
All right, but anyway, let's talk about horror movies and TV. That was
okay.
That was like, cause you make me think like the end of Hellboy kind of. Is what it looked like.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but, all that stuff. Yeah, that's fun.
So we didn't get to cover some stuff last time. I think we're going to talk about The Orchard and how we're a little bit jaded when it comes to, you know, movies and stuff. Do you remember anything about that, or do you want to move on from that?
Yeah, I mean, I can... I'm not as soapboxy about it now that I've had time to cool off.
Good.
Yeah, there was this movie coming out called The Orchard. With Thomas Jane, and I love Thomas Jane movies in general because he does like fun stuff, but isn't high budget. And The Orchard, it's one of those things where like it sounds like it's just a haunted situation with a little bit of a twist to it. If I recall correctly, like the synopsis in general was like he's a cop that responds to a call, and there's like these kids that have like murdered a girl or something, and then like, you know, spiritual forces or unknown forces are at work.
What
and it's
it?
Just
yeah,
like
it like some keyword like supernatural or
yeah, it was like dark forces or dark something forces, yeah. But it was like that vague term where you're like, okay, well, what does that mean? And like whenever they use a vague term like that, I always go super optimistic in my head, and I'm like, oh, what if it's this like, you know, really interesting, like, I don't know, whatever, radioactive thing that's, like, causing people to go insane, or, you know, it's this, like, I try to make some kind of, like physical manifestation.
If someone came up to you
yeah.
and you were like, they're like, can't make an end to this movie, you're like, this is what I want. That's, like, what you're trying to...
Yeah, and I, like, do that to... Yeah, I put that in my head, and then I watch it, and I'm like, nope, it was just another lame ghost story where nothing really happens, and it's, you know, and I'm sure that's, I don't know, I have a feeling that's what that one is going to be. And I think that I feel like one example of one where it didn't end up being that way, and it was kind of what I was hoping it would be, was The Void, where you've got this cop that shows, you know, that finds this wounded person and takes him to a hospital, and then, like, I'm sure, like, the original, like, synopsis really said something along, like, you know, chaos ensues from there. And I'm like, you know, and you'd read that and you're like, oh, I wonder what chaos means. This is what I hope it means. And this is what it probably is. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, no, this is crazy Cthulhu, Lovecraftian chaos, nasty creatures with cultists, and like, it got crazy nuts. And it was awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of of the Void. If you haven't seen it, it's actually 100% worth your time, and it doesn't do what you think it's going to do. The tagline is, "There is hell, this is worse." And there's a few more, but that's one of them, since you're talking about it. But that's it's interesting, because, I mean, we get excited about stuff for certain reasons, whether that be, like, an artist is in the film, a visual effects artist, or director, or an actor, and, like, you know, it's like 50-50 almost sometimes when you get disappointed, you know, and it doesn't go the way you think. But I want to talk about a movie that I just got done watching, which was Suspiria. And the reason that I want to talk about it right now is because you're talking about things that didn't deliver, and how a lot of, like, that kind of witch coven stuff doesn't really do it for you in terms of, like, the VVH or the witch, you know, who was a while ago. How did you feel about that movie?
I appreciated the artistic value of it and the script being written from journals from the family. I had a lot of respect for that, but it wasn't something that kept my attention enough that I would ever watch it again.
Yeah, so when I went into this movie, I kind of was thinking, like, okay, this is going to be like your common witch thing. I've been watching Sabrina and, like, all these other witch movies inadvertently, and there's kind of a flow to it, you know, about what happens and how it goes. And I would say that I think Suspiria, and this is the new one, I haven't seen the old one, is, like, one of those movies, but then at the end it actually, like, kind of delivers on, like, the what's happening. And you can see some pretty cool shit at the end of Suspiria, and it's 100% worth it. And it's pretty creepy the whole time through. It's a kind of intriguing movie. And one of the things I was saying earlier before we started the podcast was that it's like a movie that's worth the slow parts, I guess, is what I was talking about. So, like, you go through this movie and there's periods where you're like, this is kind of getting a little boring, like, can I move forward? And then all of a sudden it's like kind of catches up, and then it shows you something really crazy and you're like, whoa, okay, I'm in. And then, like, a little bit of lull again, but it all ends up being pretty worth it.
Okay, so here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. So we found this website called scarymeter.com, and it ranks movies based on certain criteria. It ranks horror movies in particular on certain criteria. And those four criteria are, like, how scary it is, how much it makes you jump, how creepy it is, and how gory it is. So, with that in mind, 1 out of 10, how would you rank how scary Suspiria was?
How scary?
Yeah.
I don't, like, I kind of don't get really scared of the slow burn horror stuff as much, so I'd say pretty low. Like, it's probably, like, a 3, maybe.
Okay. What was its creepy meter?
See, that's where these movies kind of get me, in the opinion. It's, like, a lot of the good slow burn creepy movies, like, Dark Song and things like that, are, like, really creepy to me when they're trying to get it all done, right? So, probably, like, 8 or 9 for creep for
okay.
me.
Okay. And gory?
Probably like a 5. It has a little bit. Actually, sorry. A 5 through the whole movie, and then the end makes it like an 8.
Okay. And jump. How much jumpiness?
0. Jump. Like, there's no okay. jump. Maybe there were jump scares, but I was listening to it on, like, headphones, so I didn't really, you know, I wasn't, like, immersed in, like, a theater, so we'll say, like, okay. 1 to 2.
Okay, so you're looking at a creepy movie with moments of gore thrown in there.
Yep.
There you go, everybody.
Well, so anyways, guess we don't have to do our jobs anymore, because the scary movie does it for us.
It's kind of a cool website that you can go check out. It looks like it's pretty new, so a lot of the... I've seen a couple of ratings on here that... You can tell it's a little skewed because only like 5 or so people have voted on it. I saw Halloween 2, which the Rob Zombie remake, Halloween 2, mm-hmm. has a 10 across the board in every category, and that just sounds like trolling to me. But yeah, so there's it, but it looks like it would be a pretty cool resource down the road as more movies get added and more get ranked over and over again, to be able to go there and every once in a while and check it out and see, like, hey, maybe if there's a movie on here I haven't seen and it's highly ranked in a certain category of something I want to watch, and, you know, and give it a shot.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of fun to like sit there and go through and rate movies and see what's going on.
But you should still listen to our podcast and go read our movie reviews. You should still do
they
that.
They don't need to. You just sold everybody off our podcast. Way to go.
Oh, crap.
So, yeah, I think as far as Suspiria goes, if you... I thought it's probably like Pet Sematary for me, like where I liked it more than I probably should have. Because apparently I like really bad movies a lot. And I'm nodding here doing a thumbs up like First Day on the Internet Kid. Or whatever that meme is. But another show, I'm going to keep going because I'm like on a roll. Another kind of show that was very similar to Suspiria where it's like worth the slow parts was Chambers. So it's on Netflix right now. Just came out like last week, or maybe this week. I don't really know, but it's
this past weekend. Yeah, I think.
It's weird. Like it's a very weird show. You don't know what's going on most of the time until the very end, and then you have some idea, and you get some resolution. But there's some pretty cool visual stuff in it, and it's kind of creepy. So if we're just gonna scare meter it, no, I'm not gonna do that again. But it's just kind of creepy. It's not super scary. Actually, there are some jump scare scenes, and some of the stuff that happens in it's scary, but I think it's another decent horror show from Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I only got through the first episode, and it was a little too weird for me for the investment with my current time availability.
That's fair.
Where I have to pay attention to it that hard. Like, sometimes I have to gauge a show on its entertainment value as far as, like, being able to keep me awake. Because I'm tired a lot.
Oh, well, that's so bad for you.
it's nice this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I get it. Everybody has their time stuff. But it's kind of cool because it mixes, like, weird Christian culture with like Native American culture in times, and you're not really sure like what's happening from which culture in terms of some of the supernatural stuff. And I don't know, just thought it was an interesting kind of take on the kind of horror it was.
Yeah, I'll probably go back through and watch it, but I may give it some time to simmer.
To simmer down now. So, other TV shows that are kind of entertaining that I've only watched one episode of, and I'm sure you've watched zero episodes of, are the What We Do in the Shadows TV show.
The movie is awesome.
The movie's awesome. The TV show actually has... I only watched the first episode, but it actually has a lot of really cool, nods in it to the movie, which I thought was pretty sweet, and I've only seen the first episode, and I was like, come on, they're going to do the same gimmicks over and over again. And actually, they come up with a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of stuff that just wasn't carbon copied of the movie, which I thought was very cool.
Yeah, how do you watch that one again?
You gotta pay for it on Amazon is what I figured. What I finally just did is I bought the first episode to see if it was worth investing in. And I have yet to buy the whole
thing. That's
season.
The only way to do it?
As far as I can tell, I don't know if, like, it's not on Hulu. It's like FXX or something, because they say
stuff it's in it.
They say curse words in it.
I don't know. yeah, I mean, like, I'd love to give it a shot, because I really did love the movie, and it does seem like the type of... like, that movie seemed like it would translate really well into a television show. So I'm sure that it probably works pretty well on a lot of fronts.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for... a front that I have right now is that I've canceled my CBS All Access subscription in lieu of not watching Twilight Zone anymore, because I don't know how to say this, but it's really on the nose. I guess that's how you say it. And
yeah, on the nose, heavy handed.
Yeah, some of the stuff's getting a little bit like, I get it. I want to see like more stuff. This week's episode was about... I didn't watch it yet, but it was about all the guys going crazy and like starting to do weird crazy stuff and the women trying to survive. And like, I get it. But I'm like, if every other episode's going to be super heavy-handed, I don't really need to watch it. I don't really need to pay to watch it right now.
the end result of the Twilight Zone series may be to, like, subliminally message that all white male Americans should kill themselves.
Oh my god, do you think the whole thing's gonna be that way, or just
this? No, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, but I stopped watching that for now. I'll come back to it later, maybe, but not gonna pay for it. I'm not gonna pay $10 a month for it. $10 a month, $10 a week. I'm not sure.
Man, $10 a week would be insane.
Yeah, it would. I hope I'm not paying that. yeah. So
I want to hear about this Ghost Rider thing. I want to hear about this Ghost Rider thing.
So there was some rumor about, and that's not a rumor actually. It's founded, that Hulu has got the rights to Ghost Rider and they're making a TV show. And I was like, that seems so weird, because we only have one more Netflix Marvel show left, and that's this third season of Jessica Jones, and they're calling it the final season, which either means that Jessica Jones is, like, not in the MCU or something like that anymore, or, no, they're just not gonna make any more shows. And so having another, like, Marvel license come out in terms of, like, another streaming service is kind of weird, because it hasn't happened in a while, you know? The Cloak and Dagger show and, like, the New Mutants show and all that stuff is kind of slated beforehand. And so they could still probably cancel it if they wanted to, but the Ghost Rider, maybe they just consider him, like, a not important person, but they had him on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so it's like, he's already established. So, I don't know, it's just weird. Because Disney Plus is having all those other shows, it's weird that they're still selling rights and not just making them themselves. It's like they're outsourcing certain superheroes.
I'm wondering if there is, like, a limit to what Disney Plus is wanting to show on their service as far as content.
Yeah.
And that maybe they'll continue to, like you put it, outsource some of their darker characters, so that those characters can be treated properly, and have a higher chance of success on platforms with a larger adult audience.
Well, I mean, DC's,
like, Ghost Rider would be really... How are they doing that?
Well, they have...
Yeah, I know they've got their shows.
DC Comics, and, like, the three or four of the shows are super dark. Like, Teen Titans is a dark version. They're coming out with Swamp Thing soon. There's, like, Birds of Prey. Swamp Thing, yeah. Stuff like that is, like, kind of pretty dark. At least how they're making Swamp Thing looks is, like, pretty crazy. And Dark Horse Comics just made a deal, I mean, which is kind of DC, but not really, made a deal with Netflix to do more shows like The Umbrella Academy, like more shows and movies like from that Dark Horse universe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm all for it. I liked Umbrella Academy a lot, and I'd like to see more content like that. I feel like if things had continued to progress well for Marvel on Netflix, we were really close to Moon Knight. And it makes me sad that that's basically probably starting from scratch on the chances.
Maybe they'll pick it up or throw it somewhere, you know?
I would love for it to get picked up by, like, I mean, I feel like FX would do a good job with it. I feel like Netflix would have done a good job with it. I feel like that gritty, grounded, brutal approach for him works really well. I love some of the most recent iterations of how they use Khonshu, of how Khonshu has been, like, this, it, like, is manifests Khonshu? Itself. Khonshu, I'm sorry, Khonshu is the god of vengeance that gave Moon Knight his powers. But, like, he'll see him in, various manifestations, and, like, he struggles with, like, psychotic breaks and stuff already. Mark Spector does.
Kind of like Spawn, like old school Spawn.
Like, yeah.
That movie was kind of dark and crazy and weird and had gods, but not really in it.
Yeah, and it's cool because, like, he doesn't know. There are certain, like, runs in the series where he's, like, legitimately questioning whether or not he's just been literally going insane for, like, 15 years and he's just been killing people and he's, like, a sociopath. And he doesn't know. And, like, it's cool, like, that they take that concept where, like, this god, like, makes itself, like, a little, like, grotesque decaying caterpillar on a table that's like talking to him, and he's just like, I don't know if this is real or not. He's telling me to go kill this guy.
Crazy.
Yeah, it would be good. It makes such a good show.
Well, that seems like it could be cool, but I don't know why. I guess Ghost Rider on Hulu makes as much sense as, you know, like Cloak and Dagger on a service I've never heard of in my life before. So.
If the reasoning behind it does turn out to be because they're trying to keep Disney Plus more family friendly, and adult content they're going to try to outsource, it makes me a little wary on The Mandalorian, like how far they're willing to take that.
Or show.
They're doing a Cassian show?
Yeah, they're doing like Cassian before he meets up with Jenner, so like Rebel.
It's so that's pretty awesome.
Militaristic and crazy.
Yeah, you'd think that there'd be, I mean, like a lot of this, yeah, like Rogue One was kind of a darker side in a lot of ways of what goes on, and like it didn't take it too far. But I like, that's my favorite side of Star Wars, is like basically what I would consider, I guess, the scoundrel side of things. Yeah. Like, it's that side that's the gray. It's the gray area.
So you like Solo a lot?
I did like Solo, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, no, I thought Solo was
fun. It wasn't a bait,
was
it was just a question to clarify.
Oh, no worries, no. Yeah, I did. I liked Rogue One and Solo, I thought were great. I think Rogue One is, honestly, I'd die on a hill for that one as far as, like,
you don't
I thought
to,
it was one
need
of the
to
best
die
ones.
On a hill for Solo, but not for Rogue One.
There's enough people on the hill for Rogue One.
No, there's no hill. Like, everybody likes that movie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, okay.
But another movie that everybody has liked is It. And It, the first It, there's like the first Stephen King remake in a long time that's kind of spawned this like string and slew of remakes, you know, Pet Sematary, all of the stuff that was on Netflix, you know, like Gerald's Game and all that stuff. The Stand series is coming out again on like CBC All Access, CBS All Access, and you got, you know, Salem's Lot and the movie that the trailer came out for today, which is It Chapter 2.
Oh, looks so good.
Yeah, so this one is creepy. It's kind of one of those trailers where it shows you like a long section that's kind of been sliced up of a part of the movie, and then it kind of goes into the trailer, and the section that gets cut up is pretty freaky.
It's so good. Like, yeah. It just makes me want to break down, like, I mean, I've actually ran into a rather large amount of people that were very unimpressed by the first part for part one of It, which really surprised me because, I mean, like, from a subjective perspective, I loved it for a lot of reasons. But, like object, part one. Okay. Like,
get it? You said love it, and I was like, I don't understand.
I mean, right, I get. But even, like, breaking it down objectively, I'm like, this movie's entertaining, the score is really, really good, the kid actors were all great, the writing is great, I don't understand.
You can't say that's objective, but I understand what you're saying. Like, it's a pretty good movie. It's a pretty good movie.
You can't say that's objective?
We don't need to, we could talk about this for the next 10 minutes if you want.
Oh, yeah, let's go for it.
Go for it. It's not objective. There's, like, no way to prove something's objectively true. So, like, saying something's objectively true in a review of something means that your review is, it's either unarguable or it's nonsense.
Yes. Oh, no, I agree. Like, I mean, no matter what, it's still opinion. But what I mean by that, and I think I worded it that way, is that when I'm trying to be objective.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's like when I'm saying
you triggered,
like,
triggered me, and so
I didn't mean to. No, but like it's just the same thing as like objectively, I'm trying to look at like the witch from an objective perspective, and so it makes it to where I can appreciate more things about it, even though I didn't personally like it that much.
Yeah, you're willing to look at a movie through different lenses and see how someone could enjoy it, which is it's as objective as we can possibly be.
Yeah, and so I kind of, like, see It Part 1 in that way, where I'm like, I have such a hard time, and like you said, no matter what, it's still subjective, but, like, I have that one, even when I'm trying to look at it objectively, I have a hard time understanding why people didn't like it. Me, like, it's got everything in it to me.
I can see people who like the book not liking that movie, because if you're expecting it to be the book, which you should never do,
you should never do that.
Like a letdown, because there's some stuff.
Especially it, because that thing was big, longer than the Bible. Like, the thing was.
And I think that honestly, the first few minutes of the trailer of the second one, like, make me more excited for it than almost anything in the first movie, because there was nothing that I can remember that was that creepy, and it was obviously creepy, right? It was just stuff where you're like, oh, this is creepy because of what could happen. The trailer, the first like few minutes of the trailer of the second It movie were creepy because of stuff that is happening.
Yeah. I thought there were some really cool scenes in the first one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't at all. I actually had never said that, but I'm just trying to say, like, the creep factor of it. I mean, him waving, like, a half-eaten hand around in the air is, like, no worse than any zombie movie. Yeah, so I wouldn't really consider that creepy, right? But,
yeah.
Like, there's some stuff that's creepy, but it's, like, the ambiance and the atmosphere. I'm trying to think of something that's really, truly creepy in that movie.
I think the lady in the painting was horrifying.
Which one?
Like, that one with, like, the distorted face. And then it's, like, his face at the end. Like, yeah.
The kind of like call out to the like the Conjuring movies kind of thing, with like the nun being painted and all that stuff. I kind of always felt like it was that. I you're right though, that was pretty creepy, just because the face is all weird. For the same reason that Mama is creepy. Mama has like a lot of that weird face, elongated, distorted body stuff, right?
Are you talking about the one with the feral children and the...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
I actually haven't seen it, but I read a review to it today, and I looked at some screenshots, and I was like, I need to see this movie.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty... Yeah, it's pretty creepy. It's got some moments to it. It's kind of like Lights Out, that it was based off of a short, and the short is really, really well done. Mm-hmm. And it struggles a little bit to go over a feature-length runtime, but is overall still pretty good.
Same with Lights Out, but yeah, so that kind of look and feel, I can see how that would be creepy, for sure.
Yeah. But
the stuff that's happening in the first 2 minutes of this trailer, like, I don't know, they just creep me out. The way they creep me out was more creepy to me.
It's so good. It's so good. Like, just watching it happen, it's such a well-constructed moment of terror that it builds, because you're watching this old lady talking about death, and then she just kind of stares off for like a solid 30 seconds, and then all and of a sudden, like, her face twists back to normal. Yeah, and you're just, it's so, the way they did it was so good.
Movements of the lady when she's trying to be creepy, like when Jessica Chastain's character's not like looking, and it's like, oh no,
turn
around, do something. But it's cool to see all the actors in their roles, too. And I don't know. I'm really excited for how they're going to end it. I want to see it. I want to see It Chapter 2.
Oh, so funny. I'll go ahead and finish up with our last little bit here.
Sweet.
I saw this movie on Shudder called Monster Party. And I really liked it a lot.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, finish your thought on, and then I'll tell you a story about Monster Party.
Oh, have you watched it?
Keep going. I'll explain.
Okay. So, I thought that it had this pretty solid balance of dark humor and brutality. Although, I mean, if I had one criticism, it'd be that the brutality was so strong and so abrupt in certain moments that it really took you out of the dark humor of the film, and it felt like it was trying to, like, bring you back into it. Like, come on, it's just a joke. And you're like, nah, that was pretty brutal, man. Like, you can't just pull me back in. Okay. And
that's what I want to talk about, is because I frequent this Facebook group called Horror Movie Addicts, and one of the things people always post in that group is like their favorite gore kill scenes. And so, like, I'm scrolling past this stuff, and I'm like, sometimes I'll watch it and sometimes I won't. The one that pops up the most is Thanksgiving, there's like a bunch of scenes from Thanksgiving that are just terrible and brutal. Like, people's heads getting ripped off, people's heads getting cracked open like eggs, people's faces getting deep fried. Like, it's just fucking disgusting. I'm sorry I just said that, but it's so gross that, like, I would suggest that nobody ever watch it. It's a trauma movie, so you already have that going for it, but it's literally the most disturbing thing I've seen. But sometimes you'll see things for other kill scenes that aren't as gratuitous. The monster party one is not that way. Like, they basically just showed all the like gore scenes and stuff in a row, and it just made it me not want to see the movie because it made me feel like Thanksgiving it all over again, because it is gratuitous. It's really gratuitous, and not having the dark humor to balance that out even a little bit was just terrible, and I didn't realize what I was watching until it was too late, and I was like, well, that movie's not out yet, and now I'm never going to be able to watch it.
That sucks, because I mean, I feel like overall it's a strong movie. I remember pausing it when the first kill was happening, because I can't remember why, but I was like, oh, I need to pause this for a second, and I realized, I believe, if I remember correctly, I was 40 minutes in before the first kill happens. So it's not all about that. It's actually, like, does a pretty good job of building up its premise and characters, and the premise is really interesting, because it's about these three kids that, like, basically burglarize houses and steal stuff, and they decide that they're going to try to steal from this rich family, and when they you know, pose as caterers to, like, go steal from this family, and, like, when they show up, a bunch of other people show up at the house too for this party, and you find out that it's a group of recovering serial killers. So, like, everybody in the house used to, like, be a serial killer, but they're, like, you know, quote-unquote sober for however long. And, like, so, like, there's a moment where they're just all around a table eating dinner, and they're all, you know, going through their stories just like in AA. And it's so interesting. And, like, just to see, like, the legitimate struggle with some of them, how some of them give into it, how others refuse to, and, like, so you've got this investment in the caterers, in those characters, but you've got some investment in some of these other guys too, of, like, will they or won't they, you know, beat this person to death? Like, what are they gonna do? And yeah. Like, so you're having this experience of feeling for these people, laughing with them, crying with them, and then they have those moments where somebody just gets destroyed, and you're like, whoa, okay, this is taking me back to, like, the Green Room, and then it tries to take me right back out. Dude, Green Room was hard for me, man, at times.
Yeah, and that's the same mentality, though. It's like a group of people trying to survive a bunch of killers. It's the same reason I don't really like The Hills Have Eyes. It's like all of those kind of, what is it, I'm being hunted, I have to survive movies. Not like slasher movies.
Survival movies? Survival horror?
Yeah, like Wolf Creek. Yeah. Like all that kind of stuff I absolutely hate. And I just never could like it. And so these kinds of movies are always, like, hard for me to try to get into because of that barrier. And it sounds like it's cool for the first part, but having watched all the kills and knowing how people are going to go, it's, like, not gonna be entertaining for me. I can 100% tell you that, which it does suck. I agree with you. It sucks.
Yeah, but I don't
frequent Facebook groups that spoil.
Yeah, like, I honestly don't blame you. Like, there's a couple scenes that, and this happens to me sometimes when I'm watching movies, and sometimes it's not horror movies. A couple of the most disturbing scenes that I can't get out of my head are from, like, Steven Spielberg movies and Quentin Tarantino movies, and I can't get it out of my head. And this one had a couple of those. And so, like, I totally don't blame you for feeling that way. And, like, part of it's because of... It was even worse for me because I was invested in the character. And so I'm just like, how could you do that? It was too real and too brutal. And, yeah, I totally get it, man. It makes sense.
So don't watch Monster Party if you have a soft heart. But we're way over on time. And thanks for listening. Go like, comment, subscribe. We had a bunch of rambles today. I hope you guys had a little bit of fun listening to my thoughts on stuff. And we'll see you next time.